Welcome back, everyone, to the Really Real Real Estate Podcast. Episode 197, why do I want or need a buyer's agent when I'm buying a home? It's no secret that in 2024, there are many steps when it comes to buying a home. And when buying a home, it's important that you have someone in your corner who represents you, the buyer, and has your best interest in mind. In today's episode, we talk about what a buyer's agent is and why it's so important for every buyer to have a buyer's agent representing them when buying a home. My name is Lou Lombardi. Now, here is the man who can represent you whether you're buying or selling, but today he's representing you while you're buying, Mr. Jason Wilcock. What's up, Jason?
Mr. Lombardi, I got up this morning. I went to go retrieve the trash cans before we started recording. It's already like 55 or 60 degrees out. It was comfortable. I was out in shorts and a t-shirt. I did not need a coat. I did not need pants, and it was beautiful. It's a gorgeous day of weather. Hopefully, you know, we're recording this at the end of March, so hopefully the nasty winter weather is officially behind us and we can officially say spring has sprung, and hopefully the nice weather is here to stay permanently. How about you?
I'm doing great. I had a good run this morning, so feeling good.
Nice. So you were enjoying the weather.
Absolutely.
Running, being healthy.
I'm on my third week now of hour runs every morning. Started my third week this week, so feeling pretty good.
Good for you. Just to recap, Lou went out for an hour run, and I went to retrieve the trash cans. So really about the same boat when it comes to exercise and taking care of your health. Speaking of taking care of your health, today we are talking about none of that. We are talking about buyer agency, which might be good for your health in the long run.
Mental health for sure by having a buyer agent.
Yes. And we do encourage good mental health here at the Really Real Real Estate Podcast on all levels. But yeah, so today we're talking about buyer agency. And Lou and I were talking just right before the podcast started to record about kind of why I decided I wanted to record this episode. Because full disclosure, this one I believe is dropping on Friday and we're recording on Wednesday. So this is dropping in just a couple of days. This is the first time that we have recorded since the big lawsuit has settled. Between the people and the National Association of Realtors. We call it NAR or NAR for short, but NAR is the National Association of Realtors. Basically, it's the national entity that represents realtors all across America. There has been a big lawsuit that's been going on for the last several months, and the National Association of Realtors just about 2 weeks ago came up with a settlement, which is going to change some things in our business. And while I'm not really wanting to dive into that today, because it happened so quickly and because it's still so fresh. We're still trying to work through a lot of the details because the settlement hasn't even been finalized yet. Right. But also it's still so fresh and so new. We're trying to work through the details. I would love to talk about it at some point, but I'd like to get a few people on here that are smarter than me just so we can kind of talk through it as a group and make sure I'm not missing any of the key points or any of the key details that would be important to know to the general public as it relates to that lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors. So today we're going to talk about buyer agency, which is kind of an indirect reflection of what's going on through the National Association of Realtors lawsuit. And so that's what we're going to dive into today. We're just going to kind of revisit what buyer agency is, why it's important, why it's something you want to have when you're purchasing a home, and just some things you want to be aware of from this side of the table as it relates to buyer agency.
Okay. So I guess then, Mr. Jason, we need to start with the question that is on everybody's mind. What is a buyer's agent? Exactly.
Yeah.
Spell it
out. Yeah, basic 101, like we always do on this podcast. A buyer's agent is an agent that represents the buyer. And I know that sounds way oversimplified because it pretty much is. But basically, the important thing to know is as a realtor, I work with my client as their fiduciary. So if I am working, if you are my client and you are the buyer, then I am your buyer's agent. My fiduciary duty is to you. And that fiduciary duty basically says that I am going to put everyone else's needs, including my own, subsequent to yours. Your wants and your needs go above everyone else's. And to give you an example of what that means, including my own, is I know that you might be pre-approved up to a $300,000 house, but you tell me that you don't want to spend anything more than 250. Well, then great, I'm going to honor that. Yeah, do I make more money if I sell $300,000 house versus a $250,000 house? Sure. If the percentage being offered is a percentage of the price, most likely I'm going to be making more than more if I sell a $300,000 house than if I sell a $250,000 house. So, it would benefit me greater. But if you need a $250,000 house, my fiduciary duty is to listen to you and to obey the commands that you give me, as long as they're legal. If they're illegal, I can't help you. You have to fire you as my client. But as long as you don't ask me to do anything illegal, I have to put your wants and needs above everyone else's. Now, that's not to the detriment of everyone else. It's not like, hey, your needs are the only thing that matters and screw everyone else. We're still going to work honestly and in good faith with the other people in the transaction, but you are my client and the other party is the consumer. So my fiduciary duty and my rights and responsibilities are to you, and I represent you in the transaction. It's no different than if I have any law and order junkies out there or any other type of procedural drama people out there. It's, when you're watching an episode of Law and Order, you have the defendant and you have the plaintiff. And so you have the defense attorney and then you have the plaintiff's attorney. And the plaintiff's attorney represents, the plaintiff, which if you're watching Law and Order, is usually the people. And then the defense attorney is going to be the one that represents the defense. It's the same situation. So, yeah.
And what's the famous book? The Defense Never Rests. Was it John
Yes.
Cochran's book or whatever?
That sounds like, I was going to say, I've never read that book. Shamefully, I've never read that, but that would be an interesting book to
And you
read.
can't get into cahoots with the other side either. There's a really. Did you ever see the movie Cape Fear?
I have not, no.
Okay, but that's got that. That's what got that attorney in that movie in all kind of trouble because he got into cahoots with the other team against his client because he thought his client was a dirtbag, and so he can't. So his Jason's fiduciary duty. I'm sorry, I'm 14 years old. I haven't graduated. Is to like, no, he represents you 100% if fans or buts, no matter what's going on. Nobody can like sway him. And this is so what does the buyer's agent actually do? What is actually what are these fiduciary duties that you will be performing?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of interesting. I'm gonna kind of combine the next two bullet
Okay,
points
good.
because this is what I get for when I create my episode guides at 2 o'clock in the morning the night before. I'm like, wait a minute, those are pretty much the same bullet points. Or no, I'm sorry, Lou, we skipped over. Why do I want a buyer's
Oh,
agent?
yes,
Why do
I'm
I want a
sorry. I was
buyer's
so
agent?
excited. I was so excited. I just got so excited. I get like that sometimes. But so why do you want one? Why do I want one?
Everything.
I don't know. I don't tell me why I want one.
So the reason you want one is because you want somebody to represent you. Here's the big thing, and it's kind of funny that you mentioned the movie. What's interesting about real estate, unlike the law side, my understanding is that in law, you legally cannot represent both sides. If you represent the defense, you cannot represent the plaintiff, and vice
Correct.
versa. You can only
Absolutely.
represent one side. In fact, actually, I think there are is and again, this is what I've learned from TV, so take it with a grain of salt. Is it just the lawyer, or is it actually the brokerage or the law firm? I think it's not just the lawyer, but it's the law firm.
We
Like
really
if one
shouldn't
law
talk
firm.
about it because it's not only that we don't even play one on TV. We just watch people playing them on TV.
Yeah,
So it's
but
not even like we say we
it,
play one on TV.
yeah, it would make, let me put it this way. If TV's real, it would make sense that the law firm couldn't re represent both sides because they're, the law firm's
I
receiving
think you're
information
I
about the
by that
plaintiff.
sounds right. That sounds right.
Yeah. It sounds right. We don't know. We're not lawyers. Please don't hold this to us. Our information strictly comes from Dick Wolf and Law and Order. But what the point that I am getting at is that why do you want a buyer's agent? Because in real estate, that is the one kind of key difference is that an agent and or a brokerage has a right to practice dual agency, which means they can represent both sides in the transaction. So in real estate, at least in Pennsylvania, you can represent both the buyer and the seller, and that's as the agent, and that's actually as the brokerage. So why do I want a buyer's agent? It's because you want somebody on your side. You want somebody representing your best interest. And we're going to kind of hit at this in a little bit later about why you don't want to work with the listing agent. But you want somebody representing your side, your interests, and have your best interests at heart. And if they're working both sides, that's very difficult to do because you're going to have a conflict of interest, the whole way through when it comes to negotiating the sales contract, when it comes to negotiating the inspections and the appraisal. It's going to cause a conflict of interest. So you want your own person on your side. And the only way that that happens is by getting your own buyer's agent to represent you. Now, as a quick side note, I will say this much. The joke I tell all of my clients is this. You are allowed to practice dual agency in Pennsylvania, which again means either the realtor or the brokerage can represent both sides. Now, I can tell you, I've done many, many, many deals where the other agent has been a Coldwell Banker agent. And the joke I say is this: in Metro Pittsburgh, I think we have 12 or 13 offices all throughout the city, and there's about 1,000 of us Coldwell Banker agents throughout the entire Metro Pittsburgh area. I know about 200 to 300 of them. And I like about seven of them. So when it comes to actually working with another Coldwell Banker agent, that I'm not so much worried about because especially, everyone knows I live in Canonsburg, so I do a lot in the South Hills, and the Washington County area. The last couple of deals I've had have actually taken me out to the east. I've been doing stuff like in the Homestead area, so I've worked with a couple of agents out there. I have no idea who the agents are out there unless I've met a couple of them at like maybe a big Coldwell Banker event. Otherwise, I don't interact with them a whole lot. So it's one of those situations where it's a little bit easier to have another Coldwell Banker agent on the other side of the transaction because we're so large. It's not like we're, again, to quote TV, where we're a law firm that has maybe like 15 lawyers in one office. That's a very small office where everyone knows everything that's going on in real estate, especially not just us, but other larger brokerages that have 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000 agents working for their brokerage. It's very easy to be working with a Coldwell Banker agent that or an agent of the same brokerage that you've never even met before. So I want to let people know, don't worry if you find me or your agent working with another Coldwell Banker agent because that's not as big of a conflict of interest as you would think it
Okay.
to be. So
So
at least
what
out here.
so WIIFM, what's in it for me, Jason, if I hire you as my buyer's agent? What do I get?
So if you hire me, now I can't speak for other people, but if you hire me, and hopefully you're only hiring me. I am what we would consider in the business a full service agent. What does that mean? That means if I'm doing a buyer's consultation with you, which is what I like to do with all my buyers, I'm meeting with you day one for the buyer's consultation, and I am walking you through every step of the process. So I'm with you from day one, talking about the consumer notice all the way to closing day where we're, signing closing docs and I'm sliding the keys across the table to your new home. So for me, when you hire an agent, it's everything that goes on in between there. And this is just a really a short abbreviated list, but I'm doing things like making sure you're pre-approved. Lou, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast ever before at all, but if we've not mentioned it, I feel like episode 197 is a good time to mention buyers should be pre-approved.
Really? I never heard that before.
Yes,
Wow,
but we're
we
ensuring
should do a whole podcast on that, but go ahead. We'll get to that in
we
our
should
time.
let's make note of that. Let's see if we can find someone who might be willing to come on to us and talk about the importance of pre-approvals. But yeah, they are ensuring that you're pre-approved because that really is the first step to buying a home. But most people call the agent first, not the lender. So we're making sure you're pre-approved. We're making sure that you understand the numbers, that you're comfortable with what it's going to potentially cost you to purchase a home. So we're helping you out in the beginning. We're getting you set up on listservs and email campaigns to let you know of properties that are in the area that meet your criteria. We are showing you homes, and let us not negate that fact. That is not something we have talked enough about. I cannot tell you, Lou, how long it takes me if I have a buyer that's like, hey, I want to see like five different properties on Saturday. Great, fine, I'll set it up. That sometimes is an hour, hour and a half's worth of work just to schedule all of the showings. By the time I go in, I print them out, I create a map to see what makes the most sense. I start calling, I wait for confirmations, because obviously you don't want to schedule the second showing until you have confirmation for the first one, because if the first one doesn't get confirmed, that then throws off the rest of your roadmap. So let's not negate how long the fact of how long it takes for us to schedule showings. So scheduling showings, showing homes, walking you through those homes, offering our opinions of what we see, of what could be potential good things about the home, what could be potential bad things about the house, especially as it pertains to home inspections and appraisals and things like that. Because even though we're not home inspectors or appraisals, I've been around the block long enough to know what's probably going to come up on the home inspection and the appraisal. So we try to spearhead some of that information. We're going to help you write up the offer and submit the offer and negotiate the offer and finalize the offer once you actually do find the house that you like, which I've been sometimes in negotiations with buyers for days, trying to get everything negotiated and renegotiated and back and forth and counters and everything else. So we help you through that process and we help you get fully executed. And then we navigate you through the closing process. So we're helping you go through inspections. If something comes up on an inspection, we need to negotiate that. If something comes up on an appraisal, we need to negotiate that. We're helping you work through that. We're making sure that those problems are resolved in a timely manner so that we can close on time. And then we're coordinating the closing. You know, we're making sure that everyone knows who, when, and where we're going to be, what you need to bring, what you need to have. We're coordinating all those details to actually get you to the physically, literally get you to the closing table. And that's just the 10,000 foot overview. That doesn't include all the other little silly, stupid things that come up. Those are just kind of the basic key points. I'm sure if we sat here for 10 minutes, we can come up with another 10, 15, 20 things that we do when we represent the buyer, not least of which is sometimes I help the listing agent out. If somebody needs to be at the house for the dye test or the camera test and the listing agent can't be there, I'll be there because we both have a vested interest in getting this closed. There's just all kinds of stuff that goes on, and that's what we're here for. And, you know, we don't get paid until closing. And many times we're working on a percentage of the price, but that doesn't get paid out to us unless we actually get to closing. And heaven forbid it blows up 2 days before closing, then we don't get paid.
Yeah, you put all the work that in, that happens. I know that happens.
Just worked for free for all those months. That's a little bit about what we do and why you don't want to go at it alone, because not only did you maybe not know this order, then you actually have to walk through it and do it.
Right. Is there just on the to play devil's advocate, is there any reason why you might not work with a listing agent? Is there some reason why that might ever be beneficial or not, or is that just nothing?
So for the most part, now of course there's always some exceptions here and there, but I will tell you that most of the time you don't want to work with the listing agent, at least on the sales side. I'll veer off to the rental side here in a second. But on the listing side, or on the sales purchase side, you don't want to work with the listing agent for this reason. If you go to the listing agent, they already have a signed sales or a signed listing contract.
Okay, I misread the question. I know what you mean. The agent who's listing the property should not be the buyer's agent.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
I'm not saying that you can't do it.
I got a little mixed up. I'm sorry. I misread the question. I see what you're saying. I got you. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah. But not to dwell on this point too long. Basically, the listing agent already represents the seller. They already have a fiduciary duty to the seller. So how do you have a fiduciary duty to both buyer and seller? You can't. You can't try to get the best amount of money for your seller and also try to get the best deal for the buyer at the exact same time. They clash, because getting the offer accepted for $10,000 under helps the buyer but doesn't help the seller. Getting for asking price helps the seller but doesn't help the buyer. So how do you do that in both ways? And it's very, very difficult to do. I think I mentioned on the podcast before, I did it once. It was basically a situation of the buyer was like, This is what we want to offer. We really don't want to go over a penny more. So present it to them, see what they say. And they were getting a loan, but they were waiving all the contingencies because it was a house that needed a little bit of TLC. But they're like, you know, we have own a property management company, so nothing scares us about the work that needs to be done. So I just presented to them. I said, look, I said, this is the number they told me. I didn't even run comps. I said, this is what they asked me to present to you. If you like it, great. If you don't, I'll take it back and, you know, counter, or, you know, if you don't accept it, we'll just. Well, they accepted. They're like, yeah, we're good with this number. And because there were no inspections involved, it was a very nice, clean, easy transaction. At that point, it was just a matter of, you know, tightening up, you know, the dye test and, you know, getting stuff together for closing. But otherwise, it was one of those situations where there was really no negotiation involved. And sometimes it happens, like if you're buying a foreclosure, or if you're buying a house that needs a lot of work and you know you're just going in cash, and you're going to waive all the contingencies and you just need someone to write up the offer for you, that might be an okay time to do it. I will also tell you this much, many, 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 many times. On the leasing side of things, it is easier to go to the landlord because, again, there's not really much negotiation with the leasing. It's kind of like, hey, this is our price, take it or leave it. Most landlords, I mean, it does happen. You do sometimes get tenants that'll try to negotiate a little bit. Otherwise, it's usually like, here's our price, take it or leave it. And at that point, I actually recommend going to the listing agent for the lease because every rental property is going to have some type of application process, rental application process, and they vary slightly. So it's actually easier to go to the listing agent because they'll just walk you through what their process is. But there's some type of credit score background check, and they can help you walk through that. So.
Okay. All right. And what a buyer's agent doesn't do? Is there anything you don't do? You don't do
Very simple.
windows.
Very, very, very simply put, there's two things I don't do. One is anything illegal, so don't ask me to do anything illegal. So that's number one. That kind of goes without saying. But the other thing that we don't do is we don't get you everything that you want. And I try to stress
What?
that up front with my buyers.
It's
You know,
ridiculous.
I hear this a lot, and it really angers me, and it's hard to kind of deter this behavior in the moment because they're already heated. So I feel like if I say it up front, it helps me out a little bit better in the long run. My job is to negotiate for you on your behalf. Negotiate means get you the best terms and conditions. It does not mean I'm going to get you everything you want. And, you know, if you ask for $5,000 seller assist and I take it to the agent and then the seller counters back with 2,500, don't come to me and go, well, you're working for the seller and you don't represent me and I don't even know I have. No, that's not how this works. We are not five and we are not trying to get, you know, the ball on the playground and, you know, this, that, and everything else. No. That's we're not gonna take our ball and go home if we don't get what we want. That's not how this works. Let's be adults here. We will negotiate. We will do everything we can to get you something that's reasonable and that's fair, but you may not get everything that you want. And if you don't, you know, please don't go kicking and screaming like a 5-year-old. I've had it happen many, many times, and it is what it is. But don't come with this garbage of, oh, I can't believe it, and they're so unreasonable, and you're supposed to be my agent. You're supposed to work for me. And yeah, no, stop. Stop. Let's be adults here. So that's it. That's all. That's just a little rant I wanted to go on. So thank you.
And you sort
Thank
of
you for coming to my TED Talk.
sort of touched on this, but the buyer's agent gets paid again. How?
So this is what I wanted to spend a minute on, and I'll try not to go on too long of a diatribe.
Oh
So
boy.
it's important to note that in the state of Pennsylvania, everything is negotiable. That includes commissions. So what traditionally happens is I have a percentage that I would like to see come out of the sale of the house. That's just me personally. I don't know what other agents do, but for me personally, I like to usually see a particular percentage. Depending on the price point of the home, will depend on what that percentage is. But 9 times out of 10, the listing agent has negotiated a commission with their seller. And that part of that commission is offering a portion of that to the buyer's agent. So as long as the listing agent is nego has negotiated that and has offered that percentage of commission or that flat rate to the buyer's agent, that's traditionally what I will accept. as a per, you know, as a as a as a as a portion of closing, and that gets paid out at closing. If that's the case, the only other thing that I ask of the buyer is a small one-time admin fee that I collect at closing. It's very nominal, and we can, anybody who's interested and want to know that specific amount, we could talk about that offline,
Okay.
because I don't like to share specific numbers because everything is negotiable in the state of in Pennsylvania, and actually really in all 50 states when it comes to commissions. But the reason I say that, and this is kind of hinting a little bit about what this lawsuit with the National Association of Realtors is going on right now. Whatever that percentage is of the sales price of the house that the seller is offering, it's my choosing to accept that. Or if I don't like the number, I could ask the buyer to cover the difference. Now, one of the things that the National Association of Realtors lawsuit is talking about is that, you know, legally in all 50 states, a seller doesn't have to pay a buyer agency commission. They don't have to. That's traditionally what's been done, but they don't have to. If that's the case, then I could ask the buyer to cover that percentage, my percentage that I'm asking for at closing, and that would be an additional closing cost. Now, I can tell you, I've never been in a situation. No, I take that back. One time I had a for sale by owner that did not want to pay a buyer agency commission, and we actually allegedly, because I don't know if the lender is listening to this podcast episode or not, we
Allegedly.
allegedly baked it into the sales price because he wanted one number, and we actually went a little further up, and then he was willing to offer the buyer agency commission because he still got what he wanted. But otherwise, I've always had the seller agent or the seller offer a buyer agency commission. And so, with that said, as long as the seller is offering that, then we would be good to go. What I tell all of my buyers is this, and whether you're working with me or not, you should be working with me. But if you're not, this is what you need to know. I can tell you on every transaction what is being offered in terms of a buyer agency commission. If you like a house enough, that's a conversation you can have with your realtor before making an offer, going, hey, are they offering anything? If they are you happy with that number? Or would we have to potentially compensate more for you at closing? And you can have that discussion with your agent before you make the offer so that you're aware. I have had certain occasions where I do have a minimum that needs to be met on like lower end properties, like if I'm selling like a $20,000 or $30,000 foreclosure. And I have had some situations where the buyers have had to pay a little bit more to meet my minimum. That's happened once or twice, but as a whole, it's traditionally offered by the seller. But it's good to check to make sure that A, the seller is offering something to the buyer agency, and B, it's enough that meets their minimum, whatever their minimum might be.
Okay, listen to that. Anything else you want to add before we bug out? You
Nope,
good?
I think the biggest thing is just, you know, hopefully this episode has stressed enough that buyers, you need your own representation. So when you are
Course.
going to buy your house, whether it's your first house, your fifth house, your 10th house, your 50th house, always, 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 always make sure that you have representation on your own side, your own representation that's only representing you and not the seller. You can't afford to not have one. So always make sure you have someone. Hopefully that someone is me, but always make sure you have someone representing you and only you.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, guys. You can reach out to Jason, whether you are the buyer or the seller, and he's happy to help you out. In fact, we always stress that the sooner you get the process started, the better. The better is for everybody. You can reach out to Jason at 412-651-4. 638. You can call or text that number, or you can email Jason at jason.wilcox@pittsburghmoves.com. All right, everybody, thank you so much for hanging out with us today, and hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll catch you all on the next Really Real Real Estate Podcast.